Chapter 12. Nikki. How our motley fools discover that the bitter fruit of failure is indeed a poison apple. We made a great record with John Corabi, and we were sure it was going to sell millions of copies and blow up bigger than Dr. Feelgood. We were going to tour without pyrotechnics and dancing chicks and spinning drum cages and still kick the audience's ass. We were going to show them that without a frontman dancing in the spotlight, we could play heavy four-piece rock and roll like never before. And we were going to challenge them with lyrics and images about fascism and stereotyping that would blow their minds. We were going to do whatever we wanted because, after all, we were Motley Crue. Or were we? It only took one concert, the first stop on our tour, for all those hopes and expectations to crash and burn at my feet. The show was in Tucson, Arizona, and only 4,000 tickets had been sold for a 15,000-seat amphitheater. I went on the radio before the concert and said to the fans, "Listen, it's the first night of the tour, so I'm doing something special. Meet me outside the radio station after the show, and I'll put each and every one of you on the guest list." If I had said that in 1989, there would have been 10,000 teenagers rioting in the parking lot. That afternoon, two Mexican kids showed up, and that's when I realized it was all over. It had been 4.5 years since Dr. Feelgood came out. We had a new lead singer, and alternative rock had not only come in the meantime, it had gone as well. The world wasn't holding its breath for a new Motley Crue album. To make matters worse, our entire record label abandoned us because Krasnow and most of the top Elektra and Warner Brothers executives were fleeing their jobs as a massive battle was being waged in the corporate boardrooms. Plus, true to our nature, we had just alienated the only people who could still save the album, MTV. They conveniently edited out the part of the interview where I threatened to knock the host's teeth out if he asked us about women, hairspray, and fire one more time. At our next gig, 1,600 people showed up. Then it was 800. Soon, we were sending trucks home and scaling back arena shows to theaters and theaters to clubs. Last time out, we were flying in jets and playing sold-out arenas. Now, we had to change in our bus at some shows because there was no dressing room backstage, creep through the bus aisle with our instruments, and walk onto a tiny stage illuminated by flashing beer lights to play for 50 kids. Every now and then, though, we'd be surprised. In Mexico City, 20,000 people packed the arena, and we played a set that made it all seem worthwhile. Afterward, Chuck Shapiro called and told us the tour was going under. What? I refused to accept defeat. There were 20,000 people here tonight screaming their heads off. Are you crazy? The next day, we had a band meeting. I wrote a check for $75,000 to keep the band on the road. Tommy wrote a check for $75,000. Karabi forfeited his salary of $10,000 a week for the remainder of the tour. And as for Mick, he couldn't contribute a thing because Emmy had taken all his money. He couldn't say we didn't warn him about shitting in his own backyard. But our efforts were futile. Mexico City was a fluke, and it only took a few more depressing club shows before we had to cancel the tour and come home making all kinds of excuses to rationalize what had happened to us. For 10 years solid, we had been invincible. No one could touch us. Tommy and I had raped a drunk girl in the closet, and she had forgotten about it. Vince had killed someone in a car accident and gotten away with it. We had released 2 albums we hardly even remembered recording, and they still sold like crazy. I had overdosed and forced the cancellation of our European tour, and our popularity only increased. Our egos were out of hand. Tommy and I thought, to hell with Vince Neil. He doesn't write a single song, he drinks a lot, and he can be a pain in the ass. We thought it was all about us, Nikki and Tommy, the Terror Twins. We forgot that we were a team, and Vince was the quarterback. We forgot what made us Motley Crue, the chance collision of 4 very driven, very flawed, and very different personalities.